listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
So I was thinking the other day, what is the opposite of a nightmare? I mean, I guess you could just call it a dream, but like you have a bad dream, which is a nightmare. What is a good dream? Is it just a dream?
Well, a dream just implies a neutral ground.
I get that idea, yeah.
Does it though? Because I was just reading on a website when I just looked it up like 10 minutes ago. They were like, well, the implication of like dream, you get like dream house or dream mm-hmm. job or dream spouse or something. Mm-hmm. You just have that envisioning that is what you want. Mm-hmm. So maybe dream does mean the positive thing.
I think Nolan's on the right track of daydream because you have control over the situation. You are awake, which is also opposite. Mm-hmm. And typically it's usually going to be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also to add to the thing you were saying, to specify to somebody that you had a good dream, you must say, I had a good dream last mm-hmm. night. Mm-hmm. So
that's true, because you also say, I had a dream.
I do think it's daydream, though. That's mm-hmm. exactly opposite.
Yeah. In every aspect, I think, yeah.
But it also does imply that night is bad and day is good.
Night is bad and day... Have you not heard of
night is
day
bad.
Man?
Night terrors, my dude.
Day man?
Yeah, it's...
The opposite of night man?
Yes.
Or I guess it would be night woman.
He's the fighter of the night man.
Night man, that's just Batman, isn't
fighter
it?
Fighter of the night man.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, speaking of night, we're here to play Blades in the Dark.
Woo!
So for some just quick housekeeping for anyone who doesn't know what this system is, it is incredibly different than the other systems that we've played. Instead of using D100s like in Records of the Unknown or a D20 system like in our other show, The Written and the Lost for Pathfinder, it uses only D6s.
And that's why I have 15 of them.
Yeah, and that's why you have 15 of them. Me, as the GM, which is always fun, I don't have to do much. I only roll once through this whole thing. Every session we meet, I'm only going to be rolling once. There are some other things in the system, and we'll try to cover it as we go. But let's go ahead here. I want to introduce you guys. So you've heard them talking already, but we're going to go ahead and start to the left with Petite, then Nolan, and Olivia. Did you have a question, Nolan?
No, I was just thinking about the introductions, and for those any listeners are here for the very first time, of who are you, Mr. GM?
Oh no, they don't need to know me. No, I am Jenkins. If you are here for the first time, it's weird that you picked this episode to listen to first. There are like 50 more before this.
Now
one.
This is a different feed, so we have maybe 20. Okay,
yeah, maybe like 20-25 episodes, depending on what all is in that feed at that time.
Which aren't mandatory for listening to this first.
I mean, that is true. It's not mandatory, but like, I don't know. I would want to listen to whatever came out first, but that's just me. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. Darkness cloaks the city of Duskfall, as a broken, fractured sun starts to set in the darkened sky. Its lantern-lit streets abuzz with a recent rumor, a fortune promised by the Dimmer Sisters, for those who can bring relics before the cataclysm that occurred over 800 years ago. Shopkeepers in the night market, with stores lit up by electricity generated by Leviathan's blood and electroplasm, peddle lies and false promises to those gullible enough to believe that the electro-rail brought in such artifacts. Our crew, however, the conglomerate, have an actual lead that may change their run of year-long bad luck and failed heists. They're desperate for a successful score. We find them in the Six Towers District, one that is scattered with dilapidated manors and old whispers of a grander and wealthier time of the residents that once resided here. I have already made the roll beforehand, so how we're going to start this is you guys are outside of the manor, trying to pick your way in. Who here would like to introduce their character first and pick this lock?
Of the three people you see waiting outside this door, you see a shorter fellow kind of kneeling down at the lock. Appears somewhat small. He has curly red hair, pale skin, and there we see Colm McCug working at the lock for a small, spry fellow.
Now, due to the roll that I made here, you are in a controlled position, which means your effect will be slightly greater. What are you going to be using to pick this lock?
I was thinking finesse.
All right, go ahead and make your roll. Do you have any tools that can aid you?
Colm has a set of fine lock picks he'll use. And I think it would be finesse, but would prowl also apply?
I don't think prowl would apply here since you're in a very controlled position. Mm-hmm. It's dark as always. No one can really see you do this. You have your little lantern and you have all the time in the world.
Let's see here. What do my fine lock picks do for me?
Your fine lock picks basically act as one tier greater than a normal tool, increasing your success. So while he's making that roll, I know I said a lot of words there. So he's going to be making a roll based off of his finesse skill, which are you 1 dot, 2 dot?
One okay. dot.
Which he has one skill point in, allowing him to roll one dice. The more dice you have, the more chances of success. And his fine lock picks allow him, if he were to not be able to pick this lock or roll a little worse for wear, allows him to sort of mitigate some of those effects.
One roll. That's a 6.
All right, so that is a success. You definitely unlock the lock as though it wasn't even there to begin with and open the door, and all three of you step into the manor. Petit, your character will be the first one into the manor as he very brazenly, without awareness or attempt at stealth, walks in like he owns the place.
So remind me again, this manor belongs to whom?
You guys aren't quite sure. Due to both yours and Olivia's character's friend, Celia, your information broker, you were led here to believe that there is a relic from before the Cataclysm somewhere in this manor.
Now, is this the front door or the back door?
This is the back door.
Yeah, so coming through the back door is a quite dapper man. He's not wearing a fitted suit, but more some black slacks and an off-the-shelf blazer. But it still looks pretty well fitted, just not exact like someone you'd see going to a tailor. He is very, very good looking, if you know who Pierce Brosnan is, especially in his James Bond days. He seems to be able to get by on act alone. And this man, his name is Devlin Oliver.
The first thing that you see when you step inside the back door is that it leads into a pantry, which quickly leads into the kitchen. The pantry seems well stocked and well maintained, free of any pests or anything, which seems a little out of place considering the outward state of this manor and the manors around it as they have fallen to time and disrepair. And soon stepping behind is
Sema Merzlock. She is 5'9", so she's a little bit taller than the first fellow we met, by about 9 inches. She walks very confidently in behind Devlin. She's got just a little bit of heel to her boot too, to make her a little bit taller. She acts like she knows the whole situation. She does not, but she acts like she does.
And then as you step in, of course, you see the same thing that Devlin sees, and are a little confused by it. Colm, you quietly shut the door. And you guys begin to make your way through this manor. Everything's going a little too smoothly. You're not really hearing any noises through the manor. You're not really sure. Clearly somebody lives here, but you haven't heard any noises or anything, or have seen anything that might suggest that they are currently here. That is until, in one of the hallways, you hear sort of a quick rustling in one of the side rooms and footsteps leading out of the room and down to somewhere else, deeper in the manor.
Devlin quickly puts his hand up and he just goes, shh, 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 shh. There's someone here. Never mind, I don't think they're here anymore.
You want me to scope it out? Or do you want to put best foot forward?
I think we should probably just get in and get out.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
The quicker we finish this thing, the quicker we can enjoy the spoils. Is there anything going on in the kitchen?
Not in the kitchen, no. It looks like some food had been prepared, but the fire's out and the mess is still there, but dried flakes of food in the pan from who knows how long ago.
What time is it?
It is actually just about sunset. You guys living in here so long would know that probably shortly after you entered, as the sun set, a large flash of light would have happened, lighting up the sky for a brief moment.
I would imagine this is about the time that most people are home.
Yes.
Wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why on earth did we decide to come at this point in time?
Well, possibly. Typically, a lot of affluent people, especially if we're sort of a little bit more 20s-ish vibe and older vibe-wise, they're not going to be at home in the early evening. They're going to be out at social events.
Besides, there's usually a lot of people there shortly after the flash that tend to stay in a bit during the blind hour.
Do we happen to know where this artifact would be?
No, Celia was only able to tell you that she believes it's in the house or in the manor somewhere. She's not entirely sure where it's kept, so it would be up to you guys to figure that out.
Do we know what at all it looks like or what size it is?
No.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you guys kind of came into this blind.
Do we want to fan out, or do we want to stick together?
I could certainly go for checking out things on my own. Play it quiet. Question is, where we would start? Where would they stash something valuable if they're wanting to keep it hidden?
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if they have a safe in there, in the bedroom or not? I'm not sure.
If we're spreading out, I'm going to look for places of things that would be on display. Because if these are people who bought it, then they're going to be proud of having it. And that'd be my area of expertise, of seeing things on display.
I guess we will all be spreading out. Devlin is going to start looking for possible entrances to a basement or false doors in any way.
And Colm will make his way, imagining that the master's bedroom would be somewhere on a higher level, try to work his way upstairs and search for any sort of safes or vaults, thinking that people would stash away their valuables.
Summer, you're able to very quickly find, you enter the room that had the sound leave it rather quickly. You're quiet and you're sure to sneak in and make sure no one is in there before you sort of start looking around the place. And you're able to see that this place is filled with like cult knickknacks and artifacts and everything, but nothing really feels like it is as ancient as it should be. Clearly this stuff is valuable, but it's not what you're looking for.
Is there anything that I could possibly pocket without making a problem? That might not be like alarmed or anything, but just might be like not super valuable, but not like trash.
Yeah, give me a roll. I feel like a roll of some kind would be fitting here. My gut is leading more toward like a insight kind of check if you want to look under those skills.
I could do study or survey.
Yeah, either of those should work
fine. Yeah. I got a 3.
So, something that sort of draws your eye, you see sitting on a side table next to a rather nice armchair, an opened bottle of wine. Normally, this wouldn't pick up your fancy as everything else in this room. But you pick up the bottle and you look at it and you realize that it's made with actual grapes.
Ooh.
Instead of the algae that is used to normally make the alcohol. So you know that this could probably, even if it's open and half empty, still get a decent amount from anyone willing to buy it. You also notice sitting next to the bottle of wine are two notes. The first one seems to be hastily written and unfinished.
Dearest uncle, please, I beg of you, let me sell it. You can have the money. It isn't about that. That thing, it attracts things to it. Horrible things. I thought the electric fence was supposed to keep it all out. But no, not with that around. If I can't sell it, please, just take it with you. Please alleviate me of it. I do not want it. I will watch over all your other trinkets and doodads, but not that. I would soon... And then it cuts off. Maybe unfinished, maybe interrupted.
And then the letter underneath it.
Dearest nephew, when I entrusted you with my cherished manor, I entrusted you to keep it in good repair and to keep my things safe. Not try to sell them off for yourself for some quick coin. Is the money I give you not enough? You live like a lout and are asked to do one thing, and you're thinking of getting rid of such an item at the promise of a coin. Maybe it is time I pick a different relative to guard my old manor in your stead. I shall see you by the week's end to discuss this further. And if my precious item is not there, when I am not, even the spirit wardens will toll for you, your dearest uncle.
And you can clearly tell that the previous note was responding to that one. As you pick up those notes, though, you end up shattering a glass that was filled with the wine, making a loud just breaking of glass noise. But yeah, we will leave you there while you continue to search for things. Petite, you wanted to find a basement.
Yes. Or like a, if you could think of one that somebody would hide with a large rug.
Yeah, give me a roll that says I'm searching and looking for things.
So, I wasn't really listening when it came to what Nolan was rolling earlier.
Nolan rolled finesse to pick a lock. I don't think finesse would work here.
So, does it depend on what pips you have?
So, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that for a bit. So, the pips you have do affect your roll. If you don't have any pips in a skill, then you roll at disadvantage, which means you roll the two dice and you take the lesser. If you have one pip in a skill, you roll normal. If you have two pips in a skill, you roll two dice, three pips, three dice, so on and so forth. And you always take the highest result. Results we can talk about a little later. I probably should have talked about it with Olivia's roll there. Her three meant she succeeded but had a consequence. Sixes are full successes, and then of course there's critical successes with two sixes. Yeah, so you can specifically go for things that you have pips in, but if I ask for a roll and you don't have a pip in a skill that makes sense, you're going to have to choose.
Would study apply, considering I'm more knowledgeable than the average folk?
I would say study applies. Survey would also work if you have that.
I do not.
And that's fine.
Then I will roll study for a normal one die roll, correct?
Yes. I should also mention in this case, I mentioned it once with you, I am supposed to be setting whether you're in a controlled state, a risky state, a desperate state, and then what level of effect you will have. If I do not say anything, just assume you're going to be in a risky state with a normal level of effect. At any point in time, you can choose to reduce your state to desperate, which increases your effect status, but it has dire consequences if you fail.
I'm just going to do a very normal search.
Okay.
With my eyes.
With your eyes.
Not with my hands, because I don't want to knock over any glasses. I must have knocked something over. I rolled a one.
You get lost in this manor. It's rather large. You're not really sure where the basement could be. You do know there is a basement in this manor, because all good manors have a basement. You somehow find yourself up on the second floor bathroom.
I open the door of the bathroom and I look in the mirror and just go, "Oh, Devlin, you sly dog. This is not the right direction. I'm definitely more used to talking to people than I am searching houses."
And slightly overhearing his confession in the mirror, what did you... You wanted to go upstairs and search the bedroom?
Yeah, I was wanting to go upstairs and see if I could find where I would think they'd keep, like, a safe or valuables nearby, and Colm would think, like, oh, they're match your bedroom.
Okay. You're able, since you're not looking for anything hidden necessarily yet, you're able to find the master bedroom, and in here there are like 50, 60, 70 spirit bane charms just plastered all over the wall.
It's got a paranoid fellow here.
And if you do want to find like maybe a safe or something, that is going to require a roll.
Mm-hmm.
But just finding the bedroom is fine.
I would like to then search for a safe.
Okay.
If I may hunt, otherwise, I'm not sure if perhaps survey would be better, but I'm good at hunting, which is kind of tracking things. I'm not sure.
While hunt can be used to gather information, it does specifically seem more about like a target or anything.
That's fair.
What other option did you want us to think about?
Nothing I'm really good at.
Let's go ahead and try a survey, if that's okay with you.
And I think I will try to push myself here. It's like, come on, Colm, come on. Where would you keep the valuables?
Pushing yourself when you don't have a pip in something would just allow you to roll normal. Go ahead and mark 2 stress.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I will push myself spending some stress to just, come on, where would they put it? Where'd they hide it? Could be here, there. That's a 1.
Before I tell you what happens, do you want to try again and move your position to desperate with a limited effect? Or do you want to move on?
Let's move on for right now.
So, you don't find a safe. You don't really find anything. On your way out, when you are trying to leave, basically, you knock a couple of the Spirit Bane charms off of the wall. Some of them break when they hit the ground and not very well made, sort of hastily put together. And you go about your business. What else would you guys like to do while searching for this relic?
I think I'm going to try to regroup up with Colm, considering that's who I'm closest to.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'll meet with Devlin.
Do I hear anyone moving around in the house?
After the abrupt sound of somebody leaving the room that you're in and moving somewhere else in the manor, you don't hear too much movement or anything. You do hear every so often shrieking.
Like ghosty, shrieky kind of
noises?
Kind
of, yeah. Okay. But they're coming from deeper, somewhere below. You're not positive.
Probably the basement.
Might need to find the boys and get them to the cellar.
You all meet up at the base of the stairs to plan your next move. And again, just every now and again, shrieks can be heard from deeper within the manor.
Did you all find anything?
The master's room was a bit of a paranoid fellow, I'd say. He had a lot of charms up to protect from spirits.
You didn't break any of them, did you?
Yes.
It sounds about
there's
right.
There's a lot of them. I'm sure there's others that will cover.
All right, I'm sure we'll be fine.
I found a letter. He's wanting to get rid of it. So if we run into him, we might just offer a mutually beneficial situation.
Well, we don't have any money, so...
Oh, no, but a theft might be convenient for this paranoid and anxious fella.
Kind of helps us if they're wanting to get rid of the item anyways.
He also thinks it attracts a lot of dangerous things to it, so do be careful when we find it, okay?
Could we be those dangerous things?
Maybe.
Well, I was trying to find the basement earlier, and I ended up finding a handsome man in the restroom upstairs.
Well, was that our target?
No, it was me. So if anybody has any ideas, it sounds like there is something down there.
Well, I'm not quite sure where they'd keep a door for that.
For the basement?
I'm not familiar with this house.
Usually doors to cellars are around servants' quarters, unless you're looking, well, even the wine cellar, usually. So, I'd say closer around near the kitchen should be near where the cellar door would be.
I knew we should have started there.
As you guys make your way to the kitchen, you hear a loud thud as though a door is slamming, and you hear quick movements through the house, and then somebody stepping up the stairs seconds after you guys left that room. And then you hear a loud slamming of a door upstairs.
You mentioned servants' quarters. Could they have a servant staircase?
Maybe.
Because if somebody's running around in the walls of this place, that could be not good for us.
I know we usually try to go about this at first of low profile, if people don't know we're here, it helps, but do we want to do a bit more smash and grab, just break something open and see what we find?
Yeah.
Well, maybe more targeted smash and grab. Mm-hmm.
Make it definitely look for this guy's benefit that he might just got robbed in general, because he's got a lot of nice stuff. He's got grape wine.
What?
Did you take any of it?
No, I broke a glass.
What?
You got the bottle, though.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Well, do we want to follow the sound upstairs, or do we want to keep looking for the basement?
I think we should keep looking for the mark.
Hmm.
Okay.
I don't want to run into any trouble. Yet.
All right. Let's... yeah, we'll search for a basement or cellar door.
When you guys begin to search, there's this sort of non-stop rattling noise coming from where the person originally fled from. As you search, you can either choose to go there or continue to search the rest of the house for more valuables.
It could very well be the basement or the cellar that is being rattled.
Might be there, or he might be holding it, or either he has it with him or it's down there where that's coming from. I'm not sure I want to face what that is.
I'm starting to feel as though we might need to leave and come back at a better moment.
There's no better moment.
For reasons unknown to us, we did apparently pick this time.
I do want to mention, sorry, I should have mentioned the day of the week earlier. It is almost the week's end, so you know that based off the letter she found now, if you do leave, you might not get another chance.
If this guy is willing to give it up, I think our most convincing person might be you, Devlin, if you want to try to talk them through handing it over.
I can absolutely try that.
He was writing with his uncle. This is his uncle's place, his uncle's stuff. He was talking about selling it, giving the money to his uncle to just cover it over. His uncle was very against it. So, the approach we could take is that if it is a theft, we might lift some other items that he may not care for just to help cover it. It smooths things over with his uncle. It gets it out of his hair. It's super good situation for him.
That's true, and I do like that angle. Now, I am definitely much more better at navigating people than I am houses, apparently. Do you think that's him in the rattling door handle?
I do think he's in the house, because the letter that I was looking at was unfinished, right next to a partially full glass. For some reason, he stopped in the middle of writing a response to his uncle and went somewhere. Now, he might have gone to the artifact.
You think we interrupted him?
Maybe. Well, something drew him away. I don't think he knows we're here yet, which is weird, because we both broke stuff.
You guys broke stuff?
I broke a glass.
I broke a few of the charms upstairs.
I thought you were lying when you said that. Well, let's do this quickly. I'd like to get it over with.
So, the plan is for you to talk to the guy?
If we find him, yes.
I will go with him to try and intimidate.
So, you're going to go back upstairs to speak with the person to see if you can't usher in a sort of mutually beneficial arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys just walking upstairs? Are you sneaking upstairs? How do you want to sort of engage? Because you broke into this guy's house.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know you're here yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
He's been running around, so I would assume something's up.
So what would you guys think is the best sort of plan of attack for this?
I think suddenly showing up would probably be better than him hearing us coming, because him hearing us coming gives him more time to be afraid of someone in the house. Something maybe in the house coming for him from the artifact. Like, I think I'd prefer in his situation to have suddenly people there offering a solution, as opposed to creepy sound of someone coming to me in the house who may or may not try to kill me or eat me.
As a mark, and someone you want to think irrationally, give them less time to think. Colm will certainly try to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to need a roll for that there then. So there's a few ways we can do that. All of you can roll separately if you'd like, or somebody can lead the group action. Now what that does is you roll for each character who participates in the group action. The best single roll counts as an action result, which applies to every character that rolled. However, I believe the person who is leading the action gets stress for every...
For each person who rolled a bad outcome, 1 to 3.
Thank you. So you can do that. You can roll and then have somebody else to assist some of the weaker members with sneak, which is whoever is assisting the person takes 1 stress and they get an extra dice.
Would I be able to make my own roll and assist someone?
Yes, you would be able to do that if you don't want to lead a group action, or if somebody doesn't want to lead a group action.
I'm also okay with doing a lead group action, I think.
I think that'd be good.
Okay, so you would like to lead the group action?
Colm will lead a prowl.
Everybody roll a prowl.
Got a 4 over here, so it's not a failure.
Okay. Did anybody get a 1 through 3? All right, take 2 stress, but you succeed.
Guys are really not light on your toes.
You rolled a 1.
I don't like houses.
Colm's just like, okay, these floorboards are squeaky. Don't step here, here, here. And you guys are like, step here?
Unbeknownst to you guys, I did start a clock for you. So we'll go ahead and say with the success with consequences, we're going to fill 2 more ticks on the clock, bringing it halfway full. What a clock is, for everyone listening, it's a way for me to keep track of things. It's a way basically to say these consequences are coming. There are various uses of them. Normally, I will try to mention to my players and to you all listening when I insert a clock, but this one, I wanted it to be a little secret clock going on since 2 of our party members left obvious signs that somebody else was in the house. You guys make it up the stairs. You make it into the bedroom door, which is now shut. Who is opening the door?
I believe that should be me.
All right, so you're going to open the door. Are you doing it slowly, quickly?
Very quickly.
You slam the door open, and you see sort of sitting on a bed, balled up in a fetal position, a man with stark white hair, aged beyond his years, very gaunt in the face, sort of shaking uncontrollably in a panic. And he jumps at the sight of all of you.
That's usually not the response I get. And I run up to the bed.
Get out of my house! What are you in here for?
The artifact. We want it.
You can't have it. He's gonna be coming tomorrow to get it. You can't have it.
We're gonna take it anyway. Might as well make it easier and tell us where it is.
We had to help you, kid.
Go ahead and make a roll to try and convince him. Now, I would suggest in this case, you guys are being very commanding, but if you have another thing, the only thing I won't accept right now is a consort role, since you're not really using any outside influence.
What about sway?
I could accept sway, especially if you lean the conversation more to let us help you, because right now it's we're doing what we want.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to, after making that roll,
yes,
lean it that way, then I'll accept his way.
I shall do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you want to aid anyone?
Yeah.
Okay. So take 1 stress.
Yay.
And Petite, you get an extra die.
Okay. Highest is 5.
Okay.
But like she said, we are here to help you. We are going to take it either way, but listen, kid, man, thing.
I'm a man.
Look, we read your notes, and we know that thing is not in your best interest to keep, whether your uncle likes it or not. I believe us taking it might convince him that it was per se an accident.
He said he'd... it's fine.
Where is it?
It's in the catacombs. You go down through the...
I'm sorry, you said catacombs.
Yeah?
You've got catacombs in your house.
Yes, this is a... Yes. Yes. It holds my family.
Right. I forgot about the lore of the area that we're in.
there are a lot of catacombs.
Yeah.
Who there is not your family right now.
I don't know what it is. I don't... It's... Just go down there, deal with it, take the artifact, and leave.
What did it look like?
He clams up, and almost as though you sent him reeling into memories he didn't want to relive, he's gone. His expression has become blank. He's no longer responsive to you, and he's just sort of shaking and muttering to himself.
I put my hand on his shoulder, and I just slap him across the face. Stay with me.
Yes.
If I may, I would like to hand him the bottle of wine.
Oh.
I think you need this, kid.
Devlin immediately is just like, what are you doing? But he doesn't do anything to stop him.
Calm is like, no. But yeah, he won't stop you.
Yeah, you smack him and his face just sort of stays where your hand led. And you try to hand him the bottle of wine and it just sort of tips on the bed due to his shaking, staining his bed sheets as he's just trying to like recenter himself, but he's still not.
We could have sold that.
It was worth at least a coin. Oh, I should mention, weird time to mention this. A coin in this system is a unit of money. It is worth 3 months' salary for the average worker. Anyway. But yeah, he's gone. There's nothing you can really do to bring him back right now.
I do apologize. I don't often try to slap people, but he looked like he needed it. Didn't help. I'm going to now lay him down and cover him up with a blanket, and we can leave quietly.
You want to tuck him in and give him a kiss on the forehead, too?
No.
Sometimes people just need a good slap to straighten him out, but you can see he's a bit gone.
He's sweating quite profusely. I don't want that.
I think he's taken too many stress and is now into trauma.
I would like to take a snip of his hair, though.
What?
Okay.
Not gonna stop you.
I can study it.
I'm not gonna stop you.
I don't believe I have, like, any scissors or anything.
Look at your gear. You have so much gear. Anything that's sharp, that would work.
Okay, so good time to look at this. What is the difference between the items under load and the items under items?
So the items under items on your playbook are items specific to you that only your playbook gets. So for instance, the slide has some fine clothes and jewelry, fine disguise kit, a fine loaded dice and or trick cards, trance powder, a cane sword, and a spirit bane charm. So those are specific to you. The items under the load, everyone can have. The load is almost identical for every single person.
If I were to choose one of these items, that would be one of the items under my load?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it still counts against you unless they are in italics, but it would count as something you've brought along this mission. Now, did you choose light load, normal load, or heavy load?
I chose normal load. At this point, I believe we have a plus two.
Your crew, the Shadows playbook, you chose Thief's Rigging as your special ability. So you get two free load of tools or gear. So you, by choosing normal, you now have 7 items you can bring with you without being too noticeable.
And one of those items is my cane sword, which you have mentioned earlier. And it is a sharp enough blade that I can use to cut a lock of this man's hair.
So, have you just been walking around with this cane the whole time, or has it been stored away?
I tuck it through one of my belt loops.
Okay.
Kind of like how a sword would be sheathed on the side, like a, not a soldier, but a royal guard of some sort.
This might seem like a weird question. How are you cutting off his hair? Are you going in and grabbing it and cutting it like you would, or are you like trying to be fancy with it and just...
Oh, I'm just doing a normal cut.
Okay.
I'm not finessing anything.
Okay. So yeah, you're able to get some of his hair.
Beautiful.
And he, before he went into his state, he did mention that the catacombs existed, and that is where the item is held. So you guys now know where your target is as you forcefully pry him from his fetal position and cover him up with his wine-stained blankets.
Oh, we don't have to pry him open. We just cover him up.
You just cover him up with his wine.
Let somebody else take care of that. Good night.
Little peck on the cheek.
Don't let the rats bite.
Combs is like, when you're asked, never saw anyone here. You were just a random burglary. Hit the house.
I don't think he can respond.
I don't know if he's still in there or not.
I don't think he will respond.
You're not sure.
I'm not expecting a response, but I'm just trying to get him the idea to that's the story he's going with.
This is just a nightmare or a daydream, whichever you like.
I don't think this is a daydream for him.
All right, where are these catacombs?
I say we follow the ratlin.
That'll do.
That's what I wanted to do earlier, but you guys wanted the safe option. Do you think I could sway this guy or thing, whatever's rattling?
No.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if anyone can communicate whatever that is.
Well, I've been known to speak with ghosts.
What?
Or interact with demons.
What? Really?
You've known me for a year now and I never told you?
I'm still surprised by it. It's, you do not mess with them. You do not invite them anywhere.
I've invited them to dinner before. They never seem to come.
Celia is a little picky about what she does.
She's the only one I've invited to dinner.
Oh, maybe invite more than one.
As you guys get closer and closer to the rattling, it becomes clear the source of it is a door, which has been filling this hallway, suddenly stops, and the door goes quiet.
You know, we could just steal the rest of the stuff here and leave. We don't have to go for that specifically. There's a lot of expensive stuff
here. The Demmer sisters want the occult relic. That's what they're after, or some relics of some sort.
Forget the Demmer sisters. We could do whatever we want with the rest of this stuff.
We gotta figure out people that would buy these items.
And we also have to have the reputation that this will get us. It doesn't do much for our reputation if we walk into a place that has the most wanted item at the moment, and then we just take everything but what's actually wanted by people.
I would say I'm not opposed to taking everything else, but we do need to get this as well.
Agreed.
I've done a lot of studying into the paranormal, or as my school likes to call it, the immortal studies. There's some dangerous stuff out there.
You would know, by the way, since you've had to walk through the living room that holds a lot of the arcane trinkets and stuff, just by your studies and whatnot, that if you were to steal every single other trinket, you'd probably, if you had the right buyer and the, you know, the weather was correct, get maybe 4 or 5 coin, which is a lot of coin. But the Demmer sisters are offering anywhere from 3 to 10 to 15 coin if the item is in good shape.
I do want to get this artifact as much as the next person, but it seems there's a lot riding on this.
Just why we're here.
I pull out my cane sword and ready it just in case. Would you like to try to open the door? Colm?
I can check if it's locked, certainly.
As Colm walks up to the door, you can see that if it is locked, it's locked on this side. There is a giant iron bar that stops it from opening, and there is an occult symbol etched into it. You're not quite sure what it's about or what the occult symbol is meant for, but based off of other things that you found throughout the house, you can assume it's some form of either protection or ward against anything from crossing the barrier. It seems, however, that either through years of neglect or something more recent, the symbol has faded into obscurity, basically. Like, it's very faint, if anything, and a lot of the lines on it are broken. Would you like to open this door, or would you like to study it more?
I think Colm doesn't think too much about the fact there's a bunch of locks. The only thing he'd be concerned about is whatever's on the other side bursting out, being, you know, first thing that's seen. He'll ready a weapon, which, if there is something attack, I'll mark off which, but from the load. But otherwise, yeah, he'll start undoing the locks, saving the big iron bar for the last thing to undo.
With each lock that you click, there's not many, just 3 or so. The first one you click and the door kind of shakes a little bit. The second one you click and it shakes a little bit. The third one you click and nothing happens. When you remove the bar and open up the door, the smell of death just sort of wafts into all of your faces. Go ahead, everyone, take a stress for that. You guys make your way down into the catacombs, and you can just see it's plastered with old skulls and dead bodies. And sort of in the center, on a sarcophagus, is this idol, and it seems to be in rather well condition. And you can sort of feel it emanating energy off of it. And it looks like it was recently dug up, as there is a fresh hole to the left of the sarcophagus. And you believe that is what you're here for.
Somebody grab it and let's go.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is potentially a very dangerous artifact.
Potentially.
Yes. Can I use a flashback to do research on the implications of things and preparations of spiritual protections that I might have put in place for that?
Yes, you can. So for those of you at home, a flashback is something a player can do at any point in time. They take stress for it, and each flashback is a little different. As long as it doesn't negate what has already been said in the story, it's fair game. Olivia is using a flashback to do research on pre-cataclysmic relics.
We've already established that we didn't know exactly what it looked like, so not on that, but on the spiritual energy implications that it has, the lore maybe about what might have gone on around this, maybe on bringing it in. I probably spent extra time talking with Celia, and then tailing some of the people that she had learned information from.
We're going to say this flashback is quote-unquote a free flashback, since it's a pretty ordinary action. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is some research. However, I am going to want a roll from you, mm-hmm. and if you do poorly on the roll, basically anything below a 6, you will take stress based off of that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the success regardless, even if you roll a 1, but you'll take more stress the worse you roll.
So, with the roll, I know consort is usually more of the talking with people to gather information, so that's probably the most feasible role for the situation.
Yes, if you're using your connections and mm-hmm. People, consort would probably be
yes.
the best.
In which case, I also have weaving the web, which means I gain a consort for gathering information on a target for a score.
Nice, yeah. Yes, okay, so yeah, go ahead and roll your 3 dice.
Yes. What was the consequence of if I take that bargain, though?
Oh, basically, if you roll a 4 or a 5, you will take 1 stress. If you roll a 1 through a 3, you will take 2 stress.
I have 2 5s and a 4.
Okay, so you will take 1 stress, but you know that relics from before the cataclysm, especially occult ones such as this, are rare. You also know that they are very powerful and can potentially be very dangerous if not handled with care. It seems like this one was handled with care for quite some time, but it's fallen a little bit into disrepair, not in like its peak form since it was buried for so long. Mm. But you know it has the potential of summoning untold amounts of spirit and or demons to its center.
Okay, so I'm going to say that as a result of that, we probably prepared some kind of box for carrying it in that would be covered in a lot of charms and symbols to help sort of mitigate a lot of the trouble. Also, none of you touch it directly or I will take off your hands. And that'll be for your own good, trust me.
Devlin puts his hands up.
Wear gloves, lots of fabric between, and be very gentle.
Go ahead and mark off 2 load for that box.
Gentle is my middle name.
And I think if you've done preparation, I would like to, at this time I can mark off, I think arcane implements being gloves that are like just for quick handling.
Yep.
That's it.
All of you should mark that off if you plan on using that.
Colm definitely would plan on being able to handle this thing.
Same.
So. Well, there's something else here, at least in presence. I can try to get in close. I'm not sure how spirits detect us by eyesight or anything like that, but if I may, I'd like to prowl up to the item to try to, again, like not get anything's attention. And I'd even mark off for using as a lurk a fine shadow cloak, which will help with sneaking, and then even using dark sight goggles to see in pitch black without a light.
I will say the catacombs itself are not pitch black. There are lanterns and candles lit, most likely from the inhabitant of the manor being down here most recently.
You want me to bring the item back to you with the box, or?
Take the box up to the item.
As he is approaching the area, the sarcophagus that you mentioned that it was located, Devlin sheathes his sword, and he closes his eyes and smiles, and he just reaches out and says, "If there's somebody in here, I'd like to talk. And I want to try to distract any entity that may be watching us."
And are you using your ghost voice ability?
I am using my ghost voice ability.
So go ahead. Instead of you making a sway or a command, we're going to go ahead and do a tune since you are trying to connect to this thing first. You're going to gain potency, which basically means you get a fine tool to do this with. So your success is going to be of greater consequence. You are at lower success. Now you're at normal success. And I'm going to say, due to the situation that you're in, we're going to put you at risky. So go ahead, risky with normal success due to your potency, make a roll.
Okay. That will just be a normal roll since I have one in a tune. And it's not a one, but it is a two.
Go ahead and make your prowl roll.
If I want to prowl, I'm not going to push myself on this at the moment. A five.
So you get up there pretty well while Devlin is doing what he's doing. Devlin, your action already happened, okay? If you wanted to push yourself, the time was to do so beforehand. Now, you can push yourself now, and you'll be in a desperate position, which I'll explain why here in a second, and I'll still have you at normal success if you would like. You would be taking two stress forward, of course, but that is definitely something you can do. Let me describe what happened because of you first. As you get up to the sarcophagus and Devlin holds up his hands to try and reach out to whatever entity is in this room, almost as soon as he finishes the sentence, a loud screeching noise can be heard. All of you take a level one harm, bursted eardrums, and take two stress. Now, you can resist this if you would like, but that is up to you.
Colm would definitely like to resist. He's kind of embracing for something, anything to happen. So when the scream happens, he's kind of like prepared himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if I may resist with prowess.
Yeah, that's fine. You can resist there. What's going to happen is it's going to remove the level one harm.
I think I'll still do it because I'm planning to do it. If I roll poorly for my resistance, I might hit trauma.
Which, so while you roll, resistance, anybody can resist the effects of something. So this ghost appearing and the banshee's scream definitely resists. He is resisting the burst eardrums. How resistance works is they choose between insight, prowess, and resolve, which are the three action groups, whichever one they feel like would be best. In this case, he is powering his way through it, so to speak, so he's using prowess. You roll the dice based off the amount of pips you have, and then you take the highest one you get, and you reduce six stress for the resistance down by however much. So what did you roll?
A four.
Okay, so you were going to take two stress for resisting, and you no longer have bursted eardrums.
And I also take two stress from the banshee presence.
Yes. Now, there is a banshee screaming in the room due to your actions. You are now in a desperate situation. Would you like to try and roll to soothe this thing? Or to sway it, or to distract it, or whatever?
I would love to soothe it.
Okay, what would you like to roll for that?
Sway?
Go ahead and make a sway roll. Again, you're at normal effect because of your potency.
Four.
You manage to not calm the spirit down, but it doesn't seem as reckless or agitated. It's still very much going to be a present thing, and it might randomly explode again with its screams, but you're hoping that once you guys get the artifact in the box, you won't have to worry about it.
The way that I soothed it was just by smiling, and with my my dapper demeanor, it just made it feel a little less on edge.
It felt at home in your smile.
Yeah.
Calm. You are up there. Right now, you're like the only one who can hear things properly. Everyone else's ears are ringing. And you're at the artifact. Would you like to put it in the box?
Yes. I think I have the... I marked off arcane implements for the gloves. Kind of from what you talked about, don't touch it with your bare skin. Be prepared for that. And so I will try to silently and deftly just kind of take it off the mantle and put it in the box and seal it just as quick and quietly as I can.
Because Devlin is distracting it, and because Summer told you to wear the gloves, you don't have to make a roll. You're very easily able to put it in the box, put the lid on it, and due to the arcane symbols and protections on the box, the spirit slowly fades away as it's no longer being drawn to the area. The box successfully suppresses the emanations.
I look over at the other two and I just give the same smile, then a thumbs up.
You guys make your way to the Dimmersister Manor, which is currently located in Brightstone, north of the Six Towers. You trade off, they look at the artifact, they give you 10 coin for it, which is way more than you guys can hold in your vault. You don't even know what to do with all this coin. You go back to your secret base in the Six Towers, and you head inside. Which one of you goes in first?
I'll go in first.
Okay. You step down the stairs. Everything is normal. You go in, you start turning on the lights and everything. And then, almost as if crossing a barrier, a electric bolt shoots through your spine, and you're frozen and cannot move. And for some reason, every inch of your body is telling you not to look in the corner. And that's where we're going to end it.
Greetings, scoundrels. Devlin Oliver here, stopping by to say thanks for listening. If you enjoyed listening to us scramble for a bit of coin, why not give us a like or follow? There are plenty of misadventures to come for our little conglomerate. Keep an ear out for the next episode. And while you're at it, give a little listen to the other shows on this feed. Or, if fantasy tickles your fancy, sneak on over to The Written and the Lost, a Pathfinder 2e adventure. And since we're already breaking the fourth wall, go and join us on the Discord where there's plenty of space to blabber on. You can find all the usual links in the episode description. Wait just a moment. Maybe I can sway you to join. Let's see, that's 2 dice for sway. 5. Success with consequences. I'm sure I'll be fine. Thanks again for listening. Can't wait to see you there.
Hey, thank you all for listening. Big thanks, of course, to our players. They are Nolan Brubaker as Cole McCug, Michael Petit as Devlin Oliver, and Olivia Sarver as Summer Locke. I, of course, am the GM, Jenkins. Music in the show is composed by Michael Petit, and additional music by Jordy Hake. This work is based on Blades in the Dark, a product of 1/7 Design, developed and authored by John Harper, and licensed for our use under the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Information for Blades in the Dark and the license can be found in the description. Is your information broker a ghost? Did I forget that?
Yeah, we decided that...
She's a body hopper.
She's a body hopper. Because that's his fascination. Uh-huh. So he's watching her just control a body, but she's also my information broker.
I fully forgot that. Okay.
Also, I just made up the term body hopper, so if there's a better term for that...
I like it. I can't think of any reason not to use it.
If you at home
have a better word for it, feel free.
I'm sure there's a better term in the book, but I like body hopper.
Body hopper is pretty good.
I think of Mario. Just boom, boom.
Oh, with the hat, yeah.
Yeah, the hat from Odyssey, yes.
All right.
Oh, I was thinking more hopping onto people, crushing them.